Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. I want to continue today a message we began on Monday's broadcast. This is from the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, titled, Stop Fearfully Expecting Judgment. But you also know what it guarantees? The one thing Abraham really wanted. Abraham didn't want to die. He wanted to live. And he's willing to sacrifice his wife's purity so that he can be breathing in the morning. And guess who gets woke up in the middle of the night? Now, must be Abraham. Surely God wakes Abraham up in the middle of the night and says, how dare you come in here and lie? I will curse you with a curse. You better go apologize right now. No. Who gets woke up in the middle of the night? Pharaoh. And guess who it is? God, who says to him, if you don't give her back, I will curse you and your house and your lands and your people and everything for this man's sake. And Pharaoh jumps up and runs to Abraham and throws Sarah back at her and says, what in the world have you done to me? Get out! And pays him to leave. Gives him food and donkeys and stuff. He goes, here, take it all, go. Now listen, is that in any way saying that if we'll go out and sin, God will send good things to us? No. But if we're accused of that, we won't be the first. And praise God, we're in good company. Because Paul said this in Romans 3 and 8. It has been slanderously reported that we are preaching, let us do evil so that good may come. How could it be slanderously reported that you're preaching that unless what you were preaching sounded a little bit like that? Paul was preaching such radical grace that he was telling people that when you fail, you don't lose your righteousness. And when you fail, you don't lose your blessing. And when you fail, God doesn't curse you. And everybody heard that and went, Paul believes that if you just go ahead and sin, you get more blessing. No, he didn't believe that at all. But he did believe that your blessings don't stop because you fail. He did believe that you are not blessed by you, your works, but you're blessed by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Why was Abraham still blessed even though he lied? Because Abraham was not counted righteous because of his morality. The Bible does not say Abraham lived right and God counted it to him righteousness. The Bible says Abraham believed God and God counted it him for righteousness. Now, did Abraham have to pay a price for that? Yes, because every time he went into foreign lands, he was very suspect. And it rolled over into his kids and his grandkids and his family. He caused that. And God didn't wipe that away. There was effect that came from what he did, but it wasn't the hand of God cursing him. Now, if that be the case, and God's righteousness be so true and so firm and so solid, then we can say this. Here's another statement that let's turn the switch off of what might have used to have caused alarm bells to cause us to run away from grace, because the devil's tried to make us run away from grace for most of our lives, all right? Scared that grace will take us too far. We say this, Jesus did not die so that we would never sin again. And let me put this in parentheses right here. If he did, he failed. How many of you have sinned since you got saved? Okay? And we don't even have to go around the room and glorify your failure. We're all smart enough to know we sin. So if Jesus died so that the moment you were born again, you'd never sin again, Jesus must have failed. So let's assume Jesus knows what he's doing and that he never fails. So the statement just must be wrong. Jesus must not have died so that we would never sin again, but Jesus did die so that our sin would never ever again separate us from God. Amen. That's better. Right? Because now, how do we know? Because I know I've sinned. Jesus couldn't have died so that I would never sin again. But I also know that he promises to never leave me. And he promises to never forsake me. And he promises to be with me even unto the end of the age. So if my sin causes him to leave me, he lied again. Because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you even unto the end of the age. Paul, even if you fail, I will be with you because I have paid for your sins in my body, on the tree, so that you might go free, so that you might be righteous. Now, all of that is
to help us to see, to soften a little bit the blow that, the blunt blow that hits us when we get to Hebrews 10:26. Now thank God, if you're reading this chapter through verse by verse slowly, you've already came across the verse to clean up 26:27. Okay? Now we didn't do it because we're Bible study students tonight, and we want to pull out the very verses that sometimes will get pulled out of context by someone or the enemy to scare you. Okay? I would not have you ignorant of Satan's devices. Your pastor wants you to be harmless as doves and wise as serpents, because you are sheep in the midst of wolves. Isn't that interesting? That's one of the most peculiar illustrations Jesus ever gave, I think. One of the most stark illustrations is that I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, you already got the harmless as doves part licked. Because notice he compares sheep and doves. Calm, peaceful, harmless. He says, you are sheep, thus you're already as harmless as a dove. That part we don't even have to worry about. It's the other part, being as wise as a serpent. Because it's going to take a sheep that's as smart as a snake to know how to live amongst wolves and not be destroyed. And it's going to take us clinging hold of something special in order to realize something very, very powerful. Now, before we go backwards, let's stay right here for just a moment longer. If we sin willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, of course, we're going to investigate what the knowledge of the truth is. Then I want you to notice this. Here's what the text does not say, but this is what we assume it says. When we read this verse, here's what we hear. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more forgiveness for sins. Although we hear the word sacrifice, we instantly think it means no more forgiveness. Notice that? Because that's what goes through everybody's mind when they hear that verse. If you sin willfully, man, after you come to the knowledge of truth, you're done. Why do we say we're done? Because, well, you can't be forgiven. The scripture doesn't say you can't be forgiven. It says something even bigger. It doesn't say you can't be forgiven. It says there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Now, sneak your eye up to the very top of your page. I don't care what translation of the Bible you're using. What's the title of this book? So who's this book written to? Hebrews, Jews, not Gentiles. So we're already a foreign audience to who he's talking to. The backdrop to his audience is the sacrifice, the smell of blood, the sound of bleating sheep, the sight of burnt offerings. These Hebrews are very in tune with the sacrificial system. So Paul comes along and begins to intro the 10th chapter with, hey, if that worked and you wouldn't keep going back and you wouldn't have consciousness of sins, and then Hebrews 10:4, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away your sins, but there's one who came and gave his sacrifice once for all, has sat down at the right hand, for all those beautiful things about Jesus, and then begins to explain to us in this verse, there's no more sacrifice for sin. If you have received perfect truth, and then you willfully go against that perfect truth, it doesn't matter if you go kill a bull, a lamb, a turtle dove, a goat. There's no more sacrifice for you. There's nothing left. What's the final sacrifice? Jesus Christ at Calvary. Can you see what Paul's trying to set up for us? If you willful, what sin could Paul be talking about? If you willfully commit, verb, this sin, then there's no more sacrifice for you. Who is the ultimate sacrifice? Jesus. So if you willfully reject the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, there's nothing else you're ever going to find that will set you free. No lambs, no bullocks, no goats, no turtle doves, no pigeons. If you walk away from this, Hebrews, you're done. That's the whole 10th chapter. He says, look, we're finished with bulls. We're finished with lambs. We're finished with goats. If you don't want Jesus, there's no more sacrifice. What are you killing a lamb for when you've already had the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world? So what can you expect? A certain fearful looking of judgment, this is 27, and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Now here's where your first hint should be, that this verse isn't talking to you. You are not an adversary. You have an advocate. To be an adversary means you're an enemy of God. It means you're standing on the opposite side of the blood of Jesus Christ. So this disqualifies everybody in this room that's accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior from ever letting Hebrews 10:26 and 27 scare you again. How many of you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for the soul's salvation? You have nothing to worry about, because Paul just told you it's for those who are adversaries, who have rejected the knowledge of the truth, who would rather turn to something else than Jesus Christ and His finished work. For them, what should they expect? Fiery indignation, certain judgment. It's a guarantee that if you reject Jesus Christ, there is hell to pay. That's Paul's statement. It's a guarantee. There's no maybe. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It doesn't matter where you were raised, how you were raised, what you knew, what your knowledge, what your wealth. There's one simple way to know that fiery indignation, certain judgment is yours. Reject the final sacrifice. Reject Jesus Christ, and that makes it, that's the end. This is the same message we shared on Sunday. Now, if you were here, not the same message, not the same text, same title, but that same statement led us up into the invitation on Sunday morning. If you remember, if you were here at the 8:30 service, we had someone who come in very first time visiting our church and sat near the back. And we shared that statement right near the end. The Holy Spirit began to minister that same statement. No one goes to hell because they're an adulterer or homosexual or drunk or they curse God or they murder or they steal or they cheat. But hell is for those who reject the price paid by Jesus Christ. You know, the way to get to hell is very simple. It's to never say yes to Christ. Never put your faith in Jesus Christ. And we saw that visitor Sunday morning. He'd never been in this building to my knowledge. And I don't know if they've ever been to church in their life. The testimony that was given to me is they had, but they'd given up on church because everywhere they went judged them for their lifestyle. And it's curious to me. What are we doing? Getting interviews at the door and finding out people's lifestyles so we know what to preach? Do we go sneak off to somebody and go, do you know so-and-so in fifth row, third seat over? Yeah, I know her. Oh, what'd she do? Oh. Let me tell you. So then we got 5 more minutes worth of preaching material. So, well, you know, I didn't really have a message, but bless God, I got one now. Thunder and lightning. And that's why people are leaving. They go, well, man, I didn't come for that. But instead, Jesus Christ and His finished work, His beauty, His loveliness, His grace, His forgiveness, and His favor. And what happened? Big old tears running down the face. Hands lifted up in the air. Let's pray that sinner's prayer. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Your blood has washed all of my sins away. What a beautiful moment. What a beautiful prayer. Somebody to walk in lost without Jesus and hold their hands in there and say, Jesus, I believe that the Father loves me and you died for me and put my sins into your body so that I could be righteous today in Jesus' name. I am greatly blessed. I am highly favored. I am deeply loved. I am a daughter of God. In Jesus' name, I now am saved. Devil hates it. God loves it. Jesus came to make it happen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's worth getting happy about. You ought to be excited. And there's more and more of that going on all the time, and I believe there's a tidal wave of people. It's going to be coming home because somebody is telling them the only way you should ever fear God's judgment is if you say no to Jesus. But if you'll say yes to Jesus, never again will you be an adversary. And if you're never an adversary, you'll never again have a certain fearful expectation of judgment. Now, that's them. Let's look at us. We've been rejoicing already looking at how they can get saved. Let's rejoice at how we already are. Sneak back verse 22, same chapter. I told you a moment ago that if you were reading this from the top, whether you knew it or not, you would have already passed the verse you needed to qualify you for the verse we open with. Let me show you those verses you needed. It's starting in the 22nd verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You remember what we told you that the chapter kicks off with? If the comers to the tabernacle had been made perfect by their sacrifice, they would have had no more consciousness of sin. Notice that Paul brings that phrase back and calls consciousness of sin an evil conscience.
Thank you for listening today. This has been a message entitled, Stop Fearfully Expecting Judgment. And we will continue it tomorrow. If you would like a copy of this sermon, contact us at the ministry and ask for it by the title, Stop Fearfully Expecting Judgment. We'll send it to you postage paid and free of charge. Until next time, this is Pastor Paul White. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.